everyone, and welcome to the Live Through Jesus devotional. This is for those of you who may not need to spend the 30 minutes to an hour, however long it takes me, to do the entire study every single week. And you just want to get to the point, like, what can I learn from this passage? I don't want to do the full long study. I just need to get the gist of it and kind of get something in my mind for the week. And so this week we studied the first chapter of Ruth. And this is the blog post that I wrote for that study. And so I'm just going to read it to you. You can also go and you can read it for yourself. You can subscribe for free at Substack and you can read it for yourself. But some people would prefer to just listen on their way to work or while they're doing their housework or whatever the case may be. And so this is what we can learn from the first chapter of Ruth. It says, "Don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us." These words are often recited at wedding ceremonies, right? And though that's a perfect thing to say to your spouse, Ruth was saying this to her mother-in-law. When she joined herself to her husband, she not only committed to him, but to his family and to his God. Even after he died, she refused to leave Naomi or the Lord. Even though her sister-in-law's husband had also died, and she went back to her family and to her gods, Ruth followed Naomi to Israel, and there she made it her home and followed the Lord God all of her life. As a matter of fact, Ruth is the great-grandmother of King David. Now, when Naomi told Ruth to go back to her people and to her gods like her sister-in-law Orpah, I realized like a really sharp contrast between these two women all of a sudden. And as soon as I saw it, I thought, well, I need to be like Ruth. On the surface, it made a lot of sense for them to go back to their families, right, and find a husband because they didn't have any children. But then I realized that Orpah didn't only go back to her family. She went back to her gods. And then it was like her whole life, everything she did, all the people she hung out with, the place that she lived, everything she believed was all dependent upon her husband. And this too is honorable on the surface, right? They'd made a life together. I can relate to that. I got married when I was 18 years old and I've been married for 27 years. I've been a Gilmore longer than I've been a Wilgedahl. And then after our children graduated, I followed him away from our hometown to a new place because he got a new job. I had lived down the road from my parents from the time I moved out of their house. And now we're only a couple of hours away, but it feels far to me because that's not what I'm used to. I spent the first 40 years of my life in that town, and I miss it. But that place wasn't my home. My home is wherever I live with my husband. So my life is wrapped up in my husband, and that's good. Mark 10, 6 to 8 says, "From the beginning of creation, God made male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And so then, they are no longer two, but one flesh." But what struck me is just how differently the women reacted when their husbands died. It's fine for your life to be wrapped up in your husband's. It's good when they're alive. But how differently they acted after their husbands had died. One seemed to completely abandon everything that she had previously committed to, whereas the other one stayed fully devoted. Ruth had adopted her husband's family as her own, her husband's people as her own, and most importantly, her husband's God as her own. But Orpah not only went back to her family and her people, but she went back to her God. Orpah went back to her old life as if she never left it. But when Ruth was faced with the choice of her old life or her new, she realized there's nothing to go back to. She had fully adopted her husband's family, his people, and his God as her own. First they'd been his, then they were theirs, Now they were hers. Naomi was still a part of her family, and she wasn't going to abandon her. But more importantly, Naomi's God had become her God, and she wasn't going to leave him either. This made me think about, what would I do if something happened to my husband? I might go back to my hometown. I don't know. We haven't really lived here that long, and I'm not all that established. But what I do know is that my commitment to God is never going to change. I accepted him as my Savior many years ago, and I made him the Lord of my life. My parents and my husband, they may leave me and go to heaven. And my children, they've already left my home. But my God is going to be my God forever. And in the beginning, your God may have been your parents' God. He may have been your spouse's God. He may have been your friend's God. But eventually, you must adopt him as your own. We all have to ask ourselves, do we go to church, give money, pray, outwardly do the things that God wants us to do just because that's what we were taught, because we feel obligated? Is church just the place that we go on Sunday morning? And you know, we don't want that offering plate to meet us with an empty hand. And so we go through the motions and we appear to be godly, but our heart isn't in it. Listen to what it says in Matthew 23, verses 23, 27, and 28. You pay tithes, but you have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. You are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside they're full of dead men's bones and all uncleanliness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Dead men's bones sounds like zombies mechanically doing everything without a heart to care, right? So maybe you're just going through the motions on Sunday. Or maybe you're going through the motions when you pray. Pray before meals, you pray before bedtime. It's just your normal ritual, right? Maybe you recite the Lord's Prayer and God is good, God is great, and now lay me down to sleep. But they're just empty words. They become so routine that you don't even realize what you're saying or who you're saying it to. Matthew 6, 7 to 8 says, when you pray, don't use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, don't be like them, for your Father knows the things that you need before you ask. And so ask yourself this, if your children were grown and your spouse was gone, would you still go to church? Would you still give? Would you still pray? Would you still read your Bible? Would you still obey God's rules? Or would you feel like you're finally free to do whatever you want? Do you have a personal relationship with him? Do you see his importance in your life? If you were suddenly left alone without any outside pressure, would you still choose God? Or would you seek out the life that you had before him? At one point, the people told Jesus that the things he was teaching was really hard, and some of them even quit following him. And so he turned to the 12 disciples and he said, do you also want to go away? And Peter's reply just echoes in my ears when I think about Ruth and her making this choice. And he said, Lord, to whom should we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So once we really know God for who he is, there's no way that we can turn away from him. If Jesus is who he says he is, then there's nobody else. He's the only one with the words of life, the only one that we will never, ever be separated from. Our relationship with him is eternal. Psalm 34, 8 through 10 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Fear the Lord, you his saint. There is no want for those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. You know, Naomi thought that she had lost her family. And so she said she was more lacking in her return than she was when she left without any food. But she hadn't lost Ruth, and she still had a home to go to. And whether she felt like God dealt her a bitter hand or not, the people still knew who she was. She was the sweet woman that had moved away and had finally come back home. And Ruth, maybe she moved away from her own family, but she joined a new one. She left Moab to find a new home and be part of a new community. And maybe she lost her husband, but she hadn't lost her God. She had found a better God in Israel than she ever left in Moab, and she was fully devoted to him. And so I hope that you too have adopted God as your own, that you have your own personal relationship with him, and that you've devoted the rest of your life to him. When you do this, your life will never be the same, and you'll see there is nothing left to go back to. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So be loyal and faithful, just like Ruth. See you back next week.